I want us to turn our thoughts now to these verses that we read from Romans chapter 16. You might be wondering which of the gems or the nuggets of gold I have chosen to speak on this morning, and you'll find it in the first half of verse 10. Greet Apelles, who is approved in Christ. What an incredible statement. Approved by God. How can someone be approved by God? How on earth is this possible, that a sinful person can be both approved and acceptable to God? Is it possible for us to be approved in Christ? And that's what I want to look at this morning. Our text says, Apelles, which means called, Apelles, who is approved in Christ. And this approved carries the meaning of tried and tested. Tried and tested. You know, when they bring out a new model of a car, they've got to put it on the test bench and test it almost to destruction. Why? So that they can have the joy of building another one? No, not really. So that they can isolate what's going to cause problems. They need to work out what is going to cause a problem with this new model of car. It's a model that's never come out before. And when something new like this comes out, be it a car, a plane, a boat, whatever, it has got to be tested, because testing reveals the flaws. They would look at the new model, the prototype, and they wouldn't see any problems. It would look good on the outward appearance. But once it had been running, assuming it's a car, running on the test bed for 24, 48, or 72 hours without stopping the engine and all the wheels turning at varying speeds, eventually something begins to grind. Some little red light begins to flicker and a fault begins to appear. Are they disappointed? Yes and no. Yes, because they've found the fault, but no, because there's a fault there. But if there is a fault, it's got to be found and it's got to be eradicated. And once they remove the fault, replace the part, eventually the model is approved for manufacture. And then it's made available to the public, to you and to me. And when you're driving around in your car, know this, it has been tested. It has gone through rigorous tests. And it has been approved. So, can I make myself approve by God? Can I somehow gain God's approval? Let's see if this is possible. And I want to look at it from three different ways. Firstly, asking the question, can I make myself acceptable to God. Let's see. If I do my very best, now I'm not talking about lifting something that's fallen on the floor in the supermarket back onto its shelf. Do you ever do that? I quite often do it. I get a kick out of doing it, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about someone going out of their way to do their level best for someone, helping someone. No matter the cost. Even putting that person in front of themselves, making that person more important than themselves. Doing their level best. Also, surely if you take this book and you read this book every day, surely that makes me pleasing to God. It's His word. And if I read it every day, surely that's going to make me pleasing to God. Is it? If I pray every day without fail, surely that's got to make me acceptable to God. If I give until it hurts, and I suspect most of us don't ever do that. But maybe I wrong someone, maybe you do. But to give until it hurts, surely God has got to take that into account. This must make me acceptable before God. Surely. Let's see what God's word says. God's word is very clear. God's word comes with a clarity which sometimes is almost startling. Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6. We have all become like one who is unclean. And all our righteous deeds are like polluted garments, or as the old AV says, filthy rags. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind take us away. All our righteous deeds are like a filthy rag. Now, in my garage at home, I've got a workbench. And I enjoy working at the workbench. And I have a chainsaw, and I'm forever cutting firewood. And the chainsaw gets dirty, so every so often I open up the chainsaw, dismantle the chain, and look at the interior, and it is caked with sawdust and oil. It's filthy. Do I dare use the word in a pulpit? Bogging, really dirty. So what do? On my bench, I always have two cloths. One is a dirty cloth, and the other is a clean cloth. So which one do you think I use first? Of course, it's got to be the dirty cloth to do the dirty job. And after doing that dirty job for several different occasions, the cloth becomes so impregnated with dirt and muck and oil and sawdust that it becomes unusable. And you know what I do with it then? Yes, I throw it away. That is what God says my very best is like. Wow. My very best is nothing other than that filthy rag. All my righteousness as filthy rags before God. Let's see what else God says about this Genesis chapter 6, 5 to 7, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. So the Lord said, I will blot out man, whom I have created, from the face of the earth. For I am sorry that I have made them, because they are so polluted. Romans chapter 8, verse 6 to 8. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the spirit is life and peace. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Do you hear what that's saying? If I do my very best, I cannot please God. Now, this is not Will Ferkert saying this. This is God. Infinitely more important to listen. I cannot please God. Romans 3:23. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. How dreadful. Can I make myself approved, approvable, acceptable to God? I can't. It is impossible. I would like you to take that home with you today, that I, on my own, can never please God. Even though I do my very best, I can never gain God's approval. Second point, what am I to do to become acceptable? Is there anything? Can God himself make me acceptable? Our text says, apelles, who is approved in Christ. And I would say, what I can't do, Jesus Christ can do for me. Isn't that wonderful? He can do what I cannot do. The clue is in the text, apelles, who is approved in Christ. It's not in me. It's not in my works. It's not in my goodness. It's not in anything that I can do. Wow. Isn't that wonderful? He can do it for me. But what does this mean for me? Approved means to be tried and tested, as we said, and made accepted by God. And the ground for this being accepted can only be in Christ. How can it be? I come to my third point. Jesus, what does it mean to be in Jesus, to be in Christ? Wonderful. What a question. What does it mean to be in Christ? Is it the same as being in church? Is that the same thing? If I'm in church, does that mean I'm in Christ? It doesn't. I can be in church and be 100 miles in my thoughts from church. To be in Christ is something which is so simple that the youngest person here can understand it, and so profound that the deepest theological brain can't plumb the depths of it. It's so wonderful to be in Christ. Now, what does this mean? It means very simply that he took my place and my punishment when he died on the cross. God's word said, all have sinned and fall short, abysmally short of his glory. And we read that harrowing account of the rich man and Lazarus. And you see there that huge chasm between the poor man and the rich man. Now we have to be careful here, because you can go away with the thought that the poor man went to heaven because he was poor. He didn't. And the rich man went to hell because he was rich. He didn't. The poor man's faith was not in himself, because he had nothing. He had absolutely nothing. His faith was in God. The rich man had no need for God. It's not his riches that took him to that dreadful place. It was his neglect of God. A great gulf fixed. I mentioned those one or two things about the place of departed spirits, because there is an idea going around, and has been for many years, that death is the end of everything. And yet God's word is very clear, very explicit. It is not. Death is the gateway into God's presence or into the other place. It is one or the other. There is nothing in between. There is a great gulf, a chasm. I would venture to say a million times wider than the Grand Canyon. No one can cross it. And that rich man took his memory with him to that awful place. He took his feelings to that awful place. It's the 12th of July, 2015, and it's 12:05. You have an opportunity to change the direction of where you will go when you leave this world now. And if you neglect it, you will take this memory with you, where you were given the opportunity to come to Christ and you said, not yet, or later. Will there be a later? I don't know, and neither do you. And it behoves us to be right with God as soon as we possibly can. 1 John 1:9-10 say, if we confess our sins, he, that is God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It also says, if we say we have not sinned, we make God a liar, and his word isn't in us. Romans 3, verse 20. For by the works of the law, no human being, and that's everyone, will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes the knowledge of sin. 1 Corinthians 15:3. For I delivered to you of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for your sins according to the Scriptures. For your sin, for my sin. Our time is gone. I love the picture in Pilgrim's Progress when Pilgrim is walking along the pathway with a huge bag on his back. And if you look closely at one of the earlier editions of that book, you'll see that the bag is tied on in umpteen different ways. And if you look closely at the things that hold the bag on, there are no buckles. There is no way of loosening the load. It is fixed. It can't be taken off. And Christian is walking up that pathway, climbing that hill, and he comes to the cross. And he kneels down in front of the cross, acknowledges his sin and need. And the next picture is a picture of the bag falling off and rolling down the hill and vanishing. His sins were gone. Are yours? Are yours? Mine are. Many people here, their sins are gone. They've rolled away. God has taken them. Has he taken yours? God will not cut off that great big bag on your back unless you ask him. Please, you must ask him. Because if you don't, you will waken up one day in the afterlife with your memory intact, and you will remember the 12th of July noon, Knox Free Church in Perth. I had the opportunity and I didn't take it. Oh, please, take it today. There might not be another day for you. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, that means you, that if you put your faith in him, you will not perish in that dreadful place, but you will have everlasting life. It's over to you now. I'm finished. Let's pray. I want us to be silent. And if you have never prayed that prayer that Christian prayed at the foot of the cross, when he asked Jesus to take his sin away and to remove that dreadful burden, if you've never prayed that, I encourage you, I plead with you, pray that silently in your heart just now before we close. Lord, in your graciousness and love, reveal yourself to those who are seeking you. While you may be found, bless this congregation of your people with faith to believe for the glory of Jesus. Amen. Could I say, if God has spoken to you today, don't rush away home. Sit in the sanctuary. There are people here who would gladly help you. Don't, please don't rush away without settling this awful question. Where will I spend eternity?